Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. The Fruit Factory is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. I am the Lord's servant on this field, and I welcome you to the fruit factory of Jesus Christ, helmed by the Lord Himself. In today's broadcast, we are going to continue the series titled Stop the Leak. And today is going to be part 5 of this series. And before I go into the details of what the Lord wants us to discuss today, I'm going to share with you what the Lord has been putting in my spirit these past days. These past weeks, really, I have been receiving an extraordinary amount of visions, instructions, and words from Yah about the coming persecution of the church. The church is going to be heavily persecuted in a time that's not so far away from today. I'm recording this in September 2024. The prophecies for that are going to be coming out when the Lord desires for them to be published on our main platform, which is our website, the blog, thefruitfactory.co, which is our primary medium, because prophecy, true prophecy, actually are scrolls in the spirit realm. And so there is a requirement for prophecy to be published in written form. That is why we have a Bible which has been written, at least a third of it, by prophets. If we consider the fact that the first 5 books were also written by a prophet, though they were not prophecies, but written by a prophet. And if we consider the other books in the Old Testament, the Samuels, the Ezekiels, the Jeremiahs and Isaiahs, I mean, we are nearing half of the Bible written by prophets. So the written word in true prophecy, the way that Yah has designed it to function and the way that it is recorded in heaven, is on scrolls. So if you're a prophet, you do not have a place where you can go and read the amount of prophecies, the messages that Yah has asked them to publish and to proclaim, there is a big problem. Today's generation is heavily deceived because they claim to read their Bibles. They claim to know who God is, but they don't. They don't study Him. They don't seek Him. They don't humble themselves in front of Him to learn the truth from Him. They have an approach with the word that is very arrogant and self-centered. On one side, you have those who think they have studied all the hermeneutics in the world, and a big part of their beliefs is simply wrong, because it does not take into account the spirit of the word, but only takes into account the letter on the page. And the word of God says that the letter is death, but the life is in the spirit. Others simply do not read their Bibles. They claim they do. They are the ones who will comment on all platforms about how much they love God, how much time they spend in their Bibles, but it's false. Christians lie a lot. And the Lord was telling me that yesterday. I actually published a prophecy about that. How much Christians lie. They pretend and they pretend and they pretend. They have no fear of God. None whatsoever. They have forgotten that they serve a God who knows everything, who sees everything, and who is the only being who can actually see inside your heart. He looks at the motives, what is going on beneath the surface. So, I am saying this because recently the Lord has been giving me a lot of information about the persecution of this end times church and about the fact that so many people are going to abandon him because they were never rooted in him. They considered church to be something that is some type of social function. And even those who did not, those who genuinely thought or genuinely think that they try to live righteous lives, they do Bible study, they are active in church, they pray and they fast and stuff like that, yet they do not have this core component inside of them, which is the fear of God. They do not understand who he is. They do not comprehend his character. So they are laboring in vain. They are laboring, they are chasing the wind. They are not going after the truth. They are not going after Yahweh, after Jesus Christ. They think they are, but their failure to capture the essence of who he is has set them on a path that is faulty. They are in error. And they do not know it. And the first step to getting to know who God is developing a very strong fear for him. And by fear, I'm not saying that you think he's a tyrant who will throw thunder down to the earth if you cough the wrong way. No, I'm talking about respect, reverence. I'm talking about giving him a certain place, a priority place in your life. I'm talking about elevating him in your esteem, in your heart, above every other thing that is going on around you. And many Christians who read the word, they fast and they pray. They go to church and they are in the choir and they love God with all their hearts. Because this element is missing, because this element was not taught to them the right way, God has never really been able to reveal himself to them. In the correct manner. They have not given him the opportunity to rip off the veil from their eyes, the veil of dead Christianity, the veil of dead works. Rip it off and allow for the truth of who he is beyond those, beyond what is said about him in those four walls of the church building. But going into the character of what his word reveals about him. And this character can only be known whilst you, the person trying to get to know that character, submit yourself to him and break yourself to a point where you are so low in front of him and he's so high in your life that now you are at the right posture of heart that gives you the opportunity to even begin to know who this God is. Because I'm saying begin because he is so vast. He is so large. He is limitless. That's why it's going to take us until the very last breath to be walking, working, laboring in this process of getting closer and closer to him and being made more and more to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord gave me a lot of visions. They were primarily related to my personal life, so they are not going to go up on the blog. And by the way, if you're not reading the prophecies on the blog and waiting for them to come out in broadcast, you are missing a lot. Because the Lord may not even ask me to broadcast all of the prophecies. It's been about a week now that he has asked me not to do that. And that can go for an unlimited amount of time. So you will be missing out on what the Lord is saying. I highly recommend that you go to the blog, thefruitfactory.co, thefruitfactory.co. All the information is in the description bar. And you go and you read what is being published. That is the primary format of this ministry right now. Because the written word has a timelessness to it. You cannot forge what was written. People can try to alter it, to corrupt it or whatever, to plagiarize it. But on that platform, thefruitfactory.co, the words that the Lord has proclaimed will forever be immortalized and placated there like a scroll for all to come and read and gain the knowledge of what Christ's mind is, where his heart is, what is in his agenda for this world. So you're not going to read that. You are denying yourself that immense, rich, resource that will immensely enrich your life and most importantly prepare you for what is ahead. Because I know that your pastor is probably not preparing you for that. Not the way that he should. So, at this point, I do not go a night without dreaming about the Christian persecution of the end times. The Lord is so insistent on this. I have had at least 20 visions and dreams about this. And I know that I will be number one amongst the top names on that persecution list. There is one prophecy that the Lord allowed me to publish on this topic. It is titled The 1984 Manhunt. If you've not read or listened to that prophecy, you will be surprised when you will start seeing the leaders of the church being taken out, because the Lord revealed in that prophecy that the leaders of the church and those who have been called by him in the fivefold ministry are going to be the first target, and the assassination attempts on them is going to begin way before the beast comes into power and everything that has to happen the way that it was detailed in Daniel, the way that it was in Daniel chapter 7, in Revelation 13, in Matthew 24, and so forth. Those things will happen within that paradigm, right, of the beast of the end times and everything that's going to happen around that kingdom, the kingdom of the beast that is going to rule the entire earth. And he will force people to get the mark on their foreheads or their right hand. It is spoken about in the book of Revelation. And during that time, there will be great persecution of the church. And the Lord also spoke about this in another. He actually mentioned this in another prophecy as well. I can't recall the name right now, but I will add it to the description bar later as I publish this broadcast. So please do check to see more about it. Yes, it is the, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a prophecy titled Deadlier Than World War One and World War Two Combined. And that was a prophecy about the Third World War that is coming to the earth in these end times, and how that is going to affect the second exodus of the Lord's people, true Israel, not the current Israel that occupies the land that is known as Israel right now. They are not the true people of God. I have spoken about that at length on this platform, on previous broadcasts. And you can listen to the proclamation that the Lord made to true Israel, which was one of the very first prophecies that he made me publish when he made me start this ministry. You can type the Lord's proclamation to true Israel. You type that into the website or here on broadcast and you will find it. That, or you can also type, it's time to return to the land of the promise. You can look for that title here on broadcast and you will find that proclamation. I go into great depth about true Israel and who they are and so forth. So we are going to be chased by robots. There are always images of some robotic men, robotic looking creatures that are running, chasing us Christians. We are going to be living underground. We are going to be arrested, imprisoned. Many will get killed. I've seen a lot of images. I call them Star Wars soldiers. They literally look like, is it Darth Vader, the villain of Star Wars, with the hat, with the helmet and the whole thing, and the dress looking attire with, I'm telling you, they have the laser beams. They have the goggles. You know how the helmet is with the sci-fi looking goggles and whatnot. I call them Star Wars soldiers because that's exactly how these men look. and the guns they have, they do not shoot normal bullets. They shoot Star Wars lasers. I'm telling you, I don't know when that technology is going to come out, but this is what I saw. And the Lord is actually asking me to share with you that specific dream of the Star Wars soldiers. And I'm going to leave out any names or anything that is personal to my life, but I'll share with you the general idea. So I was outside, I was with a friend of mine, and I was sat at a table working on my computer, and he and I were laughing, we were cracking up. I can't even recall what we were talking about, but I had my computer open, I had a cup of coffee next to me, and we were out in the open. When you're at a cafe and you're sat outside of the cafe, it was a bit that, but it was not exactly a cafe. It was just a table placed in the middle of a street. On the wall of a building, and there was a chair next to it, and I was sat there working on this ministry, actually. And so I had been talking to this friend of mine, and there were a lot of people around us. They were up to other things. Some people were walking up and down. We were on a kind of hill that had a little, you know, angle of a little inclination. So it was not exactly a flat road. It was a little bit inclined. And people were walking up and down the hill. And there were other people around in little circles. I don't know what they were doing there, but we were just there, okay? And then here comes these men in large groups. They are arriving. They came out of nowhere. They didn't have cars. They did not drop down from a helicopter. They just appeared. They just appeared. And they were looking for me. They had spotted me, they had been looking for me, and they had not been able to locate me until this moment. So the second they appeared in the crowd, all of them said, "There she is," pointing at me. And that very moment, everyone just took off and started running as quickly as they could, me included. And the friend of mine with whom I was, well, obviously he was a man, so he was running quicker and faster than me. And there was a kind of gate that was maybe 100 meters from us, opposite. So like when you cross a road, 100 meters is too much, maybe 50 meters. So when you cross the road, imagine you're on one side of a road, and opposite you, just a few meters after the road, opposite you, there is a gate. So there was a gate there, and it came to our knowledge, or from me watching this, I was a spectator of the vision. I was watching it like a movie, essentially. So I was watching myself and my friend going through this, and the me watching it knew that, okay, we just need to get ourselves across that gate, because after that gate, these men are not going to be able to follow us. They can't cross the gate, but we can. So here I am. I am midway. This experience was so, it was kind of crazy. So I'm going to try and explain it the best that I can. So there was the me who was watching this scene. The me watching this scene is the me who is laying in bed, having the dream, right? And I was actively watching it. I knew I was watching a dream. I was not in a dormant state, and this is usually the state in which I am watching different visions and dreams. At this point, it has not always been this way, but the more you walk with God, the more these things evolve. So I'm watching the dream and I'm thinking, please run quickly, because these men started shooting at people. They started shooting at me, not at people, but because there were people around, there was a huge crowd, and now people were running all around, and there was a frenzy basically at this point. And so as I took off, right after my friend, these people were shooting around, but they still had not found where I actually physically was. So they were shooting randomly. They just knew that I am one of the people in this crowd. But when I had almost crossed the road completely, my friend had already entered the gate. He was halfway through the gate, but not completely. So one of his legs was in the gate, the other one was still outside. And he stood there waiting, and he was encouraging me, run, 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 run. Elvira, what are you doing? Go run, hurry up, hurry up. So he was kind of, you know, urging me to make it. But halfway through crossing the road, I realized that I left my computer, my notebook, my dream diary, all my work for the Lord. I left it on that table. And at this moment, the me of the dream began to think, should I go back? I can't leave it there. The me watching the dream told myself, it's almost like I was speaking at the me inside the dream, the same thing, that you can't leave it there. But the me inside the dream was not listening to the me watching the dream, right? And so I said, you know what? This is where it goes down. But I'm not scared, because I know the God I serve. I cannot abandon his work there because I'm trying to save my own life. If I run now, what am I going to do of the work that he gave me to do? This is happening in a split second, okay? Because people are running all around. The soldiers are looking for me. They still have not located me exactly. They do not have the target, right, as me exactly. So they're just shooting at anyone who looks like they could be me. And I know that the second I'm going to turn around and run back to the table, they are going to then notice that, oh, here she is. So all of the empty shooting that they had been doing, they definitely will not be shooting, you know, in the air any longer. But all of them will focus their attention on me. But I'm thinking, look, if this is how the Lord decides to take me, then this is how the Lord decides to take me. At least I'm going to be dying, you know, chasing after him, after his work, and putting him first, as I always should and always will. So I turn around and I run towards the table. And as soon as I pick up my stuff from the table, I come into the radar of the Star Wars soldiers. And my friend is screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? Run, run. Why did you go back? So I pick up the stuff, the diary and the computer, and I tell myself in my mind, they will know the God I serve. They will know the God I serve. So inside my heart, I had a faith that these men will not kill me, because I ran back to do the Lord's work and he will protect me. Except at this point, I was almost standing in front of them. There was no distance between us. I came directly in their radar. I was maybe 5 steps away from the closest one. So he did not even need to sweat, right, to shoot at me clean, to shoot me dead there. I pick up the thing. I'm telling you this in all this detail because this is how it felt, even though it was happening, obviously, in split seconds. But the dream felt, I knew that all of this was happening. I was having all of these thoughts, right? It was a weird experience. But I pick up the stuff and I turn around, and now they've seen me. And I'm running, my back turned at them. I'm aiming for the gate. And my friend is screaming, come, 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 because my friend, he actually stood there and he waited for me. But at this point, he had come into the gate and he was just holding the gate open, but he had managed to put himself in the gate, okay? That was a smart move. You save yourself, right? And these men started shooting at me. They all stopped shooting wherever they were. All the people that were running up and down, as soon as the one that I had just been in front of saw me, he said, there she is. And all of them pointed at me from all directions, shooting those laser things. And some of them had guns, normal bullets. And I was just running. And those beams and the guns, both the bullets and the laser beams, came at me like heavy pouring rain. But all of them missed me. Don't ask me how. And so I was running like this, holding my computer and my stuff, holding it so preciously, like a precious jewel. And as the bullets were missing me, I started shouting, I told you that I serve a big God. I told you I serve a great God. I told you. It was so funny. Then me watching the dream began laughing. I found it really, really funny. And the me of the dream was just running, dodging these bullets. I don't know how. I was not intentionally dodging it. The Lord just did not allow them to touch me. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I told you the God I serve. I told you I serve a great God. I told you, as all of those bullets were just evaporating, basically. And then I ran and I made it finally. And it's almost like this movement, this whole scene that had been almost slowed down, right? So that I would be conscious of all of these minute details and have those moments where I'm pausing and thinking and all of that. It's almost like the time, the normal frame of time was returned. And then, pop, I saw myself run to the gate, enter the gate. And as soon as I entered the gate, my friend who had already entered the gate and I ran through and we disappeared into the vision. I did not see us continually running and maybe take a left turn or a right turn. We just disappeared. And the me watching the dream was like, where did we go? I paused the dream. There were no soldiers any longer. There was no one around. The crowd and everything, nothing. Those who had to enter the gate had entered the gates, and everyone else was gone. But the me watching the dream wanted to know, where did we go? So it is as if, imagine that you are at a cinema. You have a large screen in front of you, and there is a way to walk into the frame of the screen. That's what I did. So the me watching the dream, I was not in a cinema or whatever. I just saw a version of me now come into the screen of the dream that I was watching, look around and ask myself, where did we go? Where did the me and my friend of the dream go? We just disappeared into the horizon. And it was done so intentionally because the dream did not stop. We disappeared. From the fact that the bullets did not touch me, the fact that those soldiers just appeared out of nowhere. And now we ran and disappeared. The me watching this dream was like, there is a game of appearing and disappearing in this future. And I need to know what this is about. So I came into the frame and I was looking around the scene, right, that I had been watching just moments before. And in, you know what's funny is that the me who then got into the dream to try and find where the me of the dream went had a computer, the same computer. I was holding it like this. You know the way you hold documents under your armpit? So I was holding it like this and I was looking around and I was trying to go through the gate, but the gate had this bars, you know, this metal gates with the horizontal, the vertical bars, and they were not, the space when was not large enough between the bars for me to go through it or to try and push myself through. But then I stood and I said, oh, I'm in a dream. So I can just, if I think hard enough, I will make it through the gate. And that's exactly what happened. So I sat there and I said, I want to go through this gate. I threw my computer at the gate. The computer just disappeared and reappeared on the other side of the gate, suspended in the air, waiting for me to cross. And then I just jumped. And then my body disappeared in front of the gate, reappeared behind the gate. And I collected the computer that had been suspended. And then I ran in the same direction that previous me and my friend ran in. And then I also disappeared. And when that happened, you're not going to believe it, I saw me in the room. Me in the room. Pacing around, thinking, two of me have disappeared now. How is this possible? Where did the two of me go? And I was on my computer, the same computer. And I typed in, and the me now of this third, right, dimension, or I don't know, the me of this place, thinking about what had just happened, with the me of the dream and the me who was watching the dream, thought, oh, I have the computer. You know, computers now, you can track it. You can find your computer, right? So I go on as if, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought, as if you are in Berlin and you're going to track your computer to see if it's in Paris or something. But you're in a dream, sis. This is not working. But this is what I was doing there. I was on my computer trying to find this function of tracking. And then as I was trying to find a function, I realized, no, I'm using the computer. I can't track that computer because that computer technically is the same computer here. It's just that the dream thing got messed up. And then I said, no, I can track my phone. Maybe one of me had my phone on me. Look, this is what happened. You can't make this thing up. You can't make it up. Because what was intriguing to me is, how did we disappear? It's almost like it was a technology in this world where we were getting chased down, where I was getting chased down. And these Star Wars soldiers appeared from nowhere. And then everyone was gone the second I was able to dodge those bullets and cross the gate. I realized that the street was empty. So the people who had been there also somewhat disappeared. And this was not an instance where the dream just makes them disappear. It was something that was a reality in that place. You understand? Anyways, Maybe I'll cut this whole dream thing out. But the Lord asked me to enter it. And he always knows why he does it. If he doesn't ask me to cut out the whole disappearing thing, then I'll leave it in. And whoever thinks that I'm mad, well, he's just going to think that. I don't really care. This is what happened. And so, as the me now in the room on the computer was trying to locate the phone, I woke up in my bed. So that's just a kind of world we are going to. A world where these soldiers will be able to appear anywhere and shoot you. They will be able, that technology will exist. And it's not everyone who will have that technology, obviously. But there will be people who will be able to walk around undetected. These soldiers just appeared in the middle of the crowd. And before I knew it, they were gunning at me. They did not, it was not people in the crowd who transformed themselves. No. This is the level of subtlety that is going to be used by these people in their technology against the church. So you have to ask yourself, would I really survive in a world like that? Would I stand and stand with Christ whilst I'm getting persecuted at such a sophisticated level? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself, do I really know this God? That if 15, 20 men, I know they will shoot at me and kill me, yet I will put God first. Because I know that there is nothing else, no one else that really matters in this life more than Him. I'm not trying to take myself as an example. The whole dream was a lot, okay? But it is what happened. And the Lord asked me to share it, so I'm doing it. Would you have gone back to take the computer? Or would you have said, you know what, God knows my heart. I just need to save myself. You see, when you honor God, He honors you. When you honor Him, when you give Him that place of the first, the only thing, one that matters, when you do that, then God knows. Yah knows now this is my child. Now this, don't touch, don't come close, don't, even if 50 of you are standing in her face shooting, I will turn those guns down and you will turn around and shoot at each other. That's the God you serve. But for that to work, He actually needs to have that priority. And you need to give Him that reverence, that respect. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It is a reverence, a respect, a heart posture where you don't look at God as your mate. You don't look at Him as your genie that you pray to get things from. You don't look at Him as someone who blesses you and who loves you and does nothing else. You don't look at Him as a creature or a being who is just this part of your life, who occupies a certain space of your life. You know, a lot of Christians give that to God. You know, God is on this side of my life. This other side, no. I can manage that. Many Christians live double lives. They have a church life and they have an out-of-church life. And those who do not, how many of us have God as priority everywhere? How many of us put themselves in a situation where it is God and then everything else, my job, but the filter through which you live is Yahweh. Are you there? If you're not there, you won't make it through what's coming. I'm telling you. Because Yahweh is only going to claim those who claim him. He's only going to stand up for those who will stand up for him. What did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 10? Whatever you put before me, you are not worthy of me. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. That's the place where we are going, my friends. This 70%, 80%, some people are really up there, like at 90% submission, 90% Christianity. But if you're not at 100, you will fall. You will fall. If you're not at 100, you will fall. If you think there is anything in your life that God cannot tear down, that God cannot ask you for, if there is anything in your life that God cannot say, give me that if you love me, give that up. If you love me, you will give that up. If there is anything that you wouldn't sit and relinquish that, yes, Father, you are the priority, take it. I give it up. I sacrifice it. If you can't do that about any area of your life, you are not at 100%. If there is still something, an ounce of something that you would attach yourself to and tell the Lord, you know what, please no, don't take that. Don't ask me for that. Don't ask me for that. If you still have something like that going on, you're not there. You're not there yet. You're not worthy of him. You're not. I'm here to break the news to you. You're not worthy of him. Do you know the time that we are coming into? Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So what is your testimony? Is your testimony today going in front of the church and saying, oh, this is the great thing that God has done for me? There is nothing wrong with that. But that kind of testimony is about to go extinct. Because the things that you will be saying that God has done for you would involve, yeah, I got locked up. That's what he did for me. And I praise him because he deemed me worthy to suffer for him. Can you say that about your devotion to God? Can you consider a persecution as a blessing? Are you in that hard posture? Do you fear him enough? Do you respect him enough to realize that you being handed over to the councils of kings, so that you, your life, your presence there in their midst serves as a testimony of your faith, a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they will look at you and say, this is someone who loves this man so much that he is willing to stand here in front of us all and lose his life. Now that is a testimony. That is a testimony that will speak louder than any going to the microphone and singing about how blessed you are. Again, nothing wrong with that. But we are talking in different terms here because we are going into different times. Will that be something that you will consider a testimony, something positive, something to rejoice over, something to praise God over? Or will you say, Lord, you abandoned me and they are chasing me. They have imprisoned me, Father. Why have you forsaken me? What are you going to say? Are you going to say that he forsake you? Or are you going to say, yes, he is my Lord? Are you going to stand in front of kings and say, like Stephen did, he awaits my return home. Kill me here. I already see him in heaven, and that's where I'm going. What is it going to be? Do you have the pure-heartedness necessary to have that kind of posture? Do you have the fear of God necessary to give him the sovereignty over your life that will grant him complete jurisdiction about what will happen to you? And you will willfully walk on that path, even if it means being chased down, being beaten up, being killed. Do you fear him? Because you know, the fear, the true fear of God, does not come from not wanting to go to hell. That's not fearing God. You're fearing Satan and hell. You're not fearing God. And maybe 95% of Christians, but that's their motivation. I don't want to go to hell. But we are being called into a greater, a more mature kind of faith. The faith that does not come out of a desire to escape hell, but a faith that comes out of reverence and love for the Creator, Elohim. Where is your faith? Do you have baby faith? Because if you have baby faith, the second that faith is shaken, you forget that hell exists. Not kidding. You will get selective amnesia. And you'll forget that there was a hell that you were trying to escape. Because your faith is fickle. It's like paper. You twist it like this and you blow it. It's gone. Or do you have the faith that was burned and refined by the refiner's fire? The kind of faith that Jesus is saying here, do not worry. Do not worry about it. I'm telling you in advance already, because you must be mature to know. Verse 18 continues, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And remember that Jesus was saying this whilst he was still alive. They had not received the Holy Spirit yet, but he was already speaking. He was prophesying this, that in that moment, you see, this is what happens when you put God, you give him the position that he should have. And you take the inferior position. You become like clay in his hand that he can mold, he can shape, he can break this part, throw it away, add a bit more clay here, you know, shape this curve. There is a problem there. Why? Because he knows that a time will come. A time is coming for this clay to be transformed into the loudest trumpet in the country to speak the truth of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of reconciliation to God. And if it is not shaped well, when that moment arrives, nothing will come out of it. The Holy Spirit, because he has not been exalted in your spirit, in your heart, in your life, the way that he should, he's not been given access to operate through you with power. Your lack of fruit is no one else's fault but yours, because you will not allow God to be God in your life. It is good if he is someone you pray to when you have issues, someone that you love even. But how much of God is he in your life? Where have you placed him in the radar of priorities? What are you still letting slide? What are you still trying? You know what Christians do? I'm talking here not about the fake Christians. We know them. Okay, I'm not talking about the Christians who say, just let people live their lives. They're not even real Christians. They think they are, but they are not. I'm talking about those people who actually take God seriously. Because it is one thing to take him seriously. It is another to fear him and reverence him and to put him up on that pedestal where he should be in your life. And then for you, your spirit, your soul, everything in you to come and move underneath it in submission to him. It's a whole other thing. And this thing is not, it's not learned in church. Your pastor does not teach you this, because your pastor is not the potter. The potter is God. God will come and take you like a vase of clay and break you, put you back in a vase, pour water on you, and you'll become like fresh material. And he will sit and mold that clay as if it had not been anything before. And what will come out will be a person that you will not recognize. It is for those people who are called to this broadcast is addressed to. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the Christian who wants to go to heaven. It's for the Christian who wants to be the one that will run and disappear because God would have taken you out of there, that come, my child, and then brought you to safety in ways that human eyes will look and say, what just happened? In ways that the me of that dream was confused, went into the dream asking what happened, and then disappeared too. And then the third part of me was still confused, trying to track the computer, trying to track the phone. This is the time you are going to, my friends. This is the times we are going to. This is the time when you would drink water from a rock in the desert. This is the time of parting the sea and walking on dry land across the Mediterranean, across the Atlantic Ocean, because God will decide. They are coming after you, but I will not allow you to be captive. So come, let me make you walk through the Indian Ocean. This is it. Those are the times we are returning to. We are returning to a God who is mighty. We are returning to a time where God will show Satan that you have not been born yet. I made you, and I'll remind you that I created you. But it will also be a time where people will die because God will allow it. So you could be on one side or the other. Will you be able to glorify him, whether you end up on the side of those who will be martyred or on the side of those who will walk through dry land in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the ocean? It is to these people that this ministry has been called. And so, this always happens with this broadcast. If it's not a situation where I'm explicitly reading out a prophecy, then I spent time preparing this message, and I have read about 2% of what I had prepared. I've spoken about maybe 2% of what I have prepared, because every time I sit to record this, as always, I always tell the Holy Spirit, Father, I make myself small. I bend myself. And I remove myself from the equation of this broadcast completely. And I allow you, I give free access to the Holy Spirit to take over and speak without hindrance, without limitations, without restrictions. So this is what the Lord had for you today, for us today. I did not know I would share that dream, but he wants us to know the times that are at hand. Times when you could be with your family in your backyard and a Star Wars soldier appears at your doorstep. You didn't hear them arrive. What are you going to do? When they come and they say, we heard that you hold meetings here, prayer meetings. Are you going to say, you know what? Yes, we do. Knowing that it means a bullet in your head then and there in front of your family and friends. Or are you going to say, you know what? No, we don't. No, we don't do it. It's just rumors. What Christ? Who? Who is he? I don't know that guy. It's a time for maturity. It's a time of sacrificial faith. It's a time to do what Jesus Christ did. He said that what better thing is there? That's love. When we talk about love, Lord, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Jesus said that there is no greater love than to lay your life for your friends. Is Jesus Christ your friend? Would you lay your life for him because he did so for you? What percentage of your life does he actually occupy? 2%. You're not even qualified. You're not going to heaven. I know you follow him because you're running away from hell. But if it's 2%, please forget it. You don't even take him seriously. You need to come into the realization that he is God. Many people do not understand. That's why the fear is not there. The love is not there. Because they have not come into contact with this being. With Yahweh, Jesus Christ, they don't know him. So you can't love him and die for him. Hello? Sorry, excuse me. You can't love him and die for him because you don't know him. So my exhortation to you is, go in your prayer closet. Get on your knees and ask him, Father, I really have a feeling that maybe I am not in contact with the true version of you. I really sense that if what I heard this woman on the internet talk about, if this future is truly what I will go through in my generation, what is awaiting, not in 500 years, but in this generation, if this is truly what is about to be going down, then I'm not prepared for this. And clearly there is a version of you that I missed. Please reveal yourself to me. Go and sift through your life. What decisions are you making without including God in them? Do you even include him in your decisions at all? Or do you just call on him when you need something from him? How much time do you actually commit to reading, spending time with him? Because he is his word. God and his word are the same. This Bible, Jesus Christ in a book. You don't even realize that. You say, yeah, God, his word is immutable. You don't understand what you're saying. There are so many things Christians say. They don't grasp the meaning of it. If you grasp the fact that the Bible is Jesus Christ, it is him, because he's the word of God and the Bible is the word of God. You spend time with the Bible, you're spending time with Christ. And you have to do that in the spirit, not reading the letters on the page. He is the one who is behind the letter. He opens up the letter for you that you will understand him inside the letter. If you knew that Jesus Christ is this book, would you go a day without spending at least an hour with him in that book? If you comprehend that God who created the heavens and the earth is this book, it is him. Would you even think twice as to putting this book, the study of it, as a priority in your life, the practicing of it as a priority in your life? Would you do anything in your life without consulting with it, with him? If you comprehend and you grasp the fact that the one who made heaven, made everything that is around you, including you, is accessible to you through that book. If it registers, I'm not saying that you just say it or you just think it. I'm saying you comprehend, you digest it. Would your heart not seek and long to spend time in that book? Who wouldn't want to get to know the one who made everything? Who wouldn't? Do you know that you can finally start getting answers to questions you've been asking yourself about your family, about your life? He is the truth. He knows everything. If you comprehended that, would you be listening to self-help gurus, to relationship experts, trying to find a good wife, and you're getting your dating advice from YouTubers and TikTokers. Would you dare do something like that? Would you even bother to listen to Hollywood movies to try and distract entertainment? What kind of entertainment? They are programming your mind. And they are possessing you with all of the demons that they put in those things. You wouldn't crave it. You wouldn't even miss it. Because you would be so full of the creator of the truth that anything that is not him, you would reject it. Would you even mind? You wouldn't even care to tell your friends, look, I'm not coming to the party. Remove me from all of your clubbing lists. You see, you have not understood who you serve. You have not comprehended. You haven't. If you comprehend that this is Elohim, the creator, everything else is dust. It becomes like wind, a chasing after the wind. Didn't Ecclesiastes say that? Vanity, all of it. A chasing after the wind. You realize that it is all chasing wind. Chasing wind. Because what else matters? What else? What else would you need? What? You would look at your father who refuses to make the right choice. And you will tell him, Dad, I'm sorry, but I have a choice to make. This is what Jesus talked about here. When he said, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, is not worthy of me. Do you know why it is not worthy? Do you know why all of it would not be worthy? Because if any of these things are still standing between you and him, you have not understood the God you serve. You haven't. If you were at crossroads between either it's your marriage or it's God, and you choose your marriage, you've not understood who God is. Because he is the one, he's the reason you're even married in the first place. So how are you going to choose that over him? And this is the time you're coming to. Because it will be a husband who will call the police on you. And say, you know what? This man prays 4 times a day. Come and get him. These are the times we are going to. I'm telling you, it will be your own parents who will turn their backs on God. You would think, you say, I thought we were in this. You don't know people's hearts, but Jesus does. And it is this time that will reveal what is hidden deep in people's hearts. You think all of you are in it together. But the time that's coming will reveal to you that you're not. And when it does, are you going to be choosing God? Or are you going to do what you're doing right now? Caring about, not my job, my family. Surely God can understand. That time is over. It is. The time of the sword is here. The time of testing, of burning, the time of being handed to synagogues for flogging and being put to death. That time is here. So what will you do? What is your choice? Will you be worthy of him or not? I am Elvira, the Lord's servant for this work, the Fruit Factory. We are a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. Thank you for tuning into today's broadcast. Do not forget to go and read the written prophecies. There are over 40 of them just in the past month that have been published. Thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you in the next broadcast. Goodbye.